What's going on, everybody? This is Black Men Sundays. I'm your host, Corey Sylvester Murray, and we're talking about generational wealth, finance, business, and mental health. It's a Black Man Sunday. Time to put all childish things away. I refuse to be the man I was yesterday. Gotta put my best foot forward and elevate. And before we introduce today's guest, I would like to let you know the Black Men Sunday's third annual turkey drive is in full effect. Can you believe the holidays are already here? Well, we're accepting donations all the way until November 13th. You can donate by clicking the link right here. And there's also a link in our description. And on today's show, we're speaking to Tim Knight, the author of No Time Wasted, a step-by-step workbook for young Black men on money, mindset, and manhood. The book released October 13th, 2025 on Amazon. But before we get into all that, Tim Knight, welcome to Black Men Sundays, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure to come in, you know, and speak with some other brothers. Black Men Sundays.
That's right. And, you know, on Black Men Sundays, I want to get right down to it, man. Like I said, your book was released October 13th, 2025. It's on Amazon. So you guys can go pick that up. But let's have this conversation, man. What was the impetus? Like, why did you want to create? It's not just a book. It's a workbook. So let's talk about the impetus of that.
Really, the idea came because I have two sons, and one is 21. And I'm saying to myself, you know, it would be really nice if I could just condense all the things that I say all the time into a format like a book. And on top of that, maybe other young brothers who may not have a father, maybe they can get this type of advice at the same time and not just leave it as just, okay, this is a book, but these are actionable steps that you can take in a format that I think is easy to read, simple, to the point. It reflects some stories. So like 12 different stories of my life I took, then I have a reflection moment, and then also things that they can do and write down how they can maneuver if they were in such a situation. So, you know, I think the young brothers who do come across this thing, I think they will be blessed by it. So, and it's just a start. So it's not the end all be all, but it is something that will get the wheels turning in the brain and hopefully allow them to move forward successfully. So that was the thought.
There you go, man. That's great information, man. And I know we're going to have to get the book. I know that. But I just want to hear a couple of tips, man, because, you know, a lot of brothers are saying, okay, you know, I'm trying to build my credit from zero. I need the discipline as well. But then on the flip side, you got brothers that are saying, well, you know, I'm kind of at zero, but I'm not at zero, meaning I don't have any. I'm just negative right now. So if we can talk to the young brothers that are trying to get established, give us some tips on how can we build credit and discipline from zero for the brothers that are young. And for the brothers that are already like, okay, I'm kind of behind right now.
Right. Well, you know, let's say I have sons that's in that same age bracket. So started out with just a prepaid card, you know, and just use it for gas, food, just something super simple and just pay it off. That simple thing, just that one little thing helped build him up to a 700 credit score right now. So just get in like your lunch, just simple cards. And now they're throwing him cards. So that's one simple thing. And also being cognizant of how important that really is. Everything that you buy or everything that you're trying to do is going to revolve around that credit score. So protect it with your life. I jacked mine up a long time ago. So it took me a long time and discipline, of course, to realize, okay, this is important. I'm tired of paying more for my car. I'm tired of having to pay more when I was renting, you know, to get the place that I need. So every aspect of my life was kind of being touched by not maintaining the proper respect for my credit score. So, yeah, so that's what this is, a preventative type of situation for the young brothers out here. You know, definitely take it serious. This is your life. And that's why this is catered toward. I say anyone that's like 17 and up, you're about to step into manhood. There's a lot of things that you may not know. And so that's what the point of this, what I'm trying to do, trying to be the uncle to everybody best I can.
Yep. Gotcha. Yeah, no, we appreciate that, man, because I know that word discipline is real, because I know when I was young, you know, making good money, got my first card,
did great with it. Then, you know, every couple months, I'm like, wow, they're giving me more money. The limit kept going up, kept going up. I kind of kept spending small, but at some point, you know, I started, you know, having a little more fun, I would just say, doing a little bit more with the card. Then it became a little like, oh, this is not as, you know, that $200 limit done turned into $5,000, that minimum a little different. Now, I used to have to just put $25, $50 on it. Now they telling me I need to put at least $100 on. I'm like, whoa. So that's what I saw. Those credit cards can really mess you up because you kind of get privileged with it. You enjoy the fruits and benefits, especially if you're getting points from it. And then that limit goes up and it's like, oh, this is different now, you know? So, you know, that's that discipline part is the biggest thing from my point of view of a credit card. Because without discipline, they come in to get theirs regardless.
Yeah, that's true. Because I remember you'd be buying things that you don't even really need just because it's there, you know, just because you can. I remember I could go having lunches and drinks and stuff like that on my credit card. I'm like, why am I doing that? That's stupid. So yeah, I mean, used wisely, it can be a great tool to fund whatever you know, like your business goals, whatever you're trying to do. It can be used properly, or you know, you make mistakes and then you learn from it. So
yeah, I appreciate that, man. I just had to hit that because you know, it is comforting and it's like, wow, they're really taking care of me. I'm doing well with the card, my score is going up monthly. I'm like, man, they keep giving every 6 months, they keep increasing the limit. So, but then at some point, that's when it's like, it turns real. So let's talk about mindset shifts that stick for young Black men, especially these days in our climate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I keep it 100% in this book. I have another book called The Uncomfortable Truth, which is my first nonfiction book that I really delved a little bit more into it. This is a brief synopsis, I would say. But on mindset, I mean, that's everything. A lot of times, well, what I'm noticing from a lot of our young people, they have been convinced that it's the smoking thing. I'm just going to address it. The herbal essences, whatever you want to call it, I think that is preoccupying a lot of our young brothers' time. But also, is causing them to really waste time as well, hence the name of the book, right? Because I'm like, that's called procrastination. I used to, back in the day, and then I remember, like, I used to do music, and all I had to do was hit record, you know what I'm saying? And I'm too out of my mind to do it, but now I'm noticing that it's really having a negative impact on our young brothers. So I think being able to pull away from social media, pull away from all these different things that are vying for their attention and try to get them to focus in on educating themselves is going to help. Because again, all these different drugs has a role to play in your mental, you know what I'm saying, your mind. So it does control your mind. So I'm noticing it firsthand. I'll say that. So firsthand. So trying to overcome these things and getting young people to realize that this is your opportunity, your 20s, what you do here is laying the foundation for what is next to come. It's going to determine if you're going to be working the rest of your life or, you know, what the next 10 to 15 years looks like is predicated on what you're doing right now in this moment. So it's like you really have to get your head in the game and understand that there are those who want you to fail. So it's not about anybody else. It's about really taking charge and control over your own life and recognizing that you have to make the choices for yourself.
That's great information. I'm glad we're having this conversation. And FYI, this Black Men Sundays, man. When you say herbal, that's you talking about weed, marijuana, like weed, this Black Men Sundays, bro. Let's talk that talk, baby.
Listen, I didn't know I'll try to be PG. I didn't know. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, so, I mean, yeah. Okay, yeah, because I'm like, herbal essence. I'm like, I'm like, my wife put that in my hair last week, bro. I don't know what you're talking about. So yeah, let's talk that. Let's have it. Be honest out here because people listening. And one thing I want to touch on before we go into your book, that you mentioned, you know, in the mindset conversation, you mentioned marijuana. I understand marijuana, obviously, alcohol, pill popping, all kind of things are taken away from, you know, from the mind development. So when we're talking about mindset shifts that'll stick, If you talk, because I see nowadays, like, it's like my generation, and you probably around my age or a little younger, but around, you know, when we were coming up, it was kind of like, okay, you had to do A, B, and C, because we realized our parents didn't have the money like that. But now you're seeing people doing well. I'm seeing kids at 15, 16 driving Benzes, and they already accomplished, like, you know, they eating crabs and stuff early. I'm like, man, we ate, when I was a kid up until 18, it was hamburgers, hot dogs. We weren't eating no poached salmon and no fancy steaks and none of that. You ate off the kids' menu until you were able to afford it. That's how we live. But now I'm seeing the privilege is there where people are creating generational wealth for their families. And the kids are like, I don't want that business. That was your dream. That's not mine. So how do we... Because, yeah, so I feel like nowadays the generational wealth mindset is shifting to generational luxury, and the kids, and well, I'm not going to say kids, but the young adults aren't really respectful of the framework that was laid before them from their families, you know. And I understand that's part of development. You know, you go from the poverty mindset, now these kids are acting super privileged. So how do you make sure that mindset shifts, especially with this generation?
That's an excellent point. And I talk about this with a few other people, but it's like coming from that situation where you didn't necessarily have everything that you wanted. It's like those of us, once you got a couple dollars, you try to make sure that your kids had more than what you have. And in turn, you know, you can kind of create a monster a little bit there. So like, you know, when I was 20, 21 years old, it wasn't a question as to what I was going to do. I'm going to go work. I'm going to make something happen. You know, and it was just like a natural thing to do. That was, but mind you, I was cutting grass at 10 years old. So I knew that I just had to keep moving. So far as the mindset, I think we need to take a more active role as the, I guess, elders in a way, and to try to reach out to the YNs, as they call it nowadays. And that's tricky because, you know, a lot of these cats, in some ways, they probably do want somebody to reach out to them and to be able to try to reach them wherever they at without judging them and try to kind of pull them under your wing, and maybe not. So I think that's, we have to be willing to try to go out and pull up the next generation that you see that's kind of lost in the sauce, shall we say. Because when I was younger, I respected the older heads, you know, the cats on the block. I was listening, we had no choice. You know what I'm saying? But it toughened me up and it helped me become a better person because I'm getting different perspective from different men. Now, I wasn't going to follow a lot of the things they were doing, but they generally gave me good advice and I took that advice. So I think we need to play a more active role in reaching our young brothers. Because now, you know, people, we go in the house and that's it. You know, we talk to whoever's in the house, but we're not really out in the community really trying to bring this up. So I think that will help the mindset as well. Letting them know that, listen, you're not alone. We've been there, done that. And now it's our job to try to pour back into.
Okay. And what about, you know, because I want to stay on the mindset for a minute, because I hear from a lot of parents. Oh. I mentor in my community. So I hear this all the time. You know, they're starting to call me Unk now. I remember when I was young. Yeah, I remember when I was young, you know, whatever the old head said, we listened to. Oh, that's your OG, that's your uncle, he's done this, you take what he says. But nowadays I'm hearing a lot of kickback where, oh, I already know that, you're telling me stuff I already know. But I'm like, but you already know that, but I don't see no execution and you're not listening to what I'm saying. It's kind of going in and out the other ear. So how do you make it stick? Because like I said, when I was coming up, it was instant respect. Now it's almost like it's not respect. Now they clowning you, they, oh, you got gray on your beard, oh, you old uncle. So how do you get that respect? You know what I mean? Because I'm hearing a lot of parents saying they're not listening.
Right. Well, that's true. And that is, again, I have the kids, they think they know everything. But as you said, I think experience is the best teacher. It's nothing better than, like in my own personal situation, when I've said something and then only for time to pass and you realize, you know what, Dad, you're right. So it's good to get that type of feedback from your kids. But when it's not your kids, like I said, we have to just kind of find a way. I mean, the book is not centered on that entirely, I think if there was a way that we can get kids some type of incentive to read, I think that would be helpful so that they can actually put to use what's in books like this. That's what I'm thinking would be a good idea. We have to incentivize it because, of course, everything else is seems to be more attractive than just take some time to read and better yourself. So, but I mean, outside of strong arming them, you know, we have to take it day by day and case by case.
Great information. I appreciate that so far, man. Let's talk about family leadership, the importance of that, importance of fatherhood. Because I noticed when you sent me your email, you said fatherhood and family leadership without fluff. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kept it real in the book, you know, being divorced, you know, being a statistic, which is something that I'm like, you know, damn, you know, another Black family torn apart. But thankfully, we had a good enough working relationship to where, you know, I have a great relationship with my kids. And my purpose behind everything was to make sure that they don't fall into the same traps. And so far, so good. So no wood to knock on, but that took a lot of being transparent and honest with them. Like, listen, this was Dad 20 years ago. This is me. Before I was your parent, I'm a person, right? And then there's, you got, you know what I mean? So just being as honest as I can, and I think that really helped. I talk about that in the book, you know, far as how to deal if it does fall all apart. Okay, now what? So how are we going to co-parent together? So I think that's an important lesson. But also, even before deciding to, I guess, in retrospect, looking back on it, having some type of counseling and figuring out what the hell I'm doing would be great before jumping into relationships and having kids and all that type of stuff. It only further complicates the situation if you and that the other person don't have a good foundation. So I think that happens so often. So you see so many baby mamas out here, and you know, there's no kind of value put on the fact that when you come together to produce life, there's supposed to be some type of purpose and meaning behind what you're doing. So it shouldn't just be a result of you having careless sex. So, you know, so it's supposed to be fruitful and multiply, but also it should be because we're trying to unite and make a family. So in my case, I did eventually get married, obviously. Well, not obvious, but all my three kids by the same woman. One thing I did know is that I was not going to have children all over the place. So when she, you know, got pregnant, I said, well, you're the one, and we're going to give it a good shot. And we did. But could there have been a lot of things that I've done better? Absolutely. I talk about that in the book. Just being honest with yourself, number one, because you need to be whole as best you can before you can even think about taking care of somebody else. Your business needs to be in order, your finances, your education, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, you need to have something comfortable to bring someone into. So if that's not in order, then that's what you need to be focused on. And then once that's together, then, you know, move forward from there.
Your book is on Amazon. It's available to be picked up. Do you have a copy of that handy?
Yep. So yeah, give a quick little, I'll read chapter 6, a quick little excerpt. So career and skills, standing out in the workplace, do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. It's a quote by Denzel Washington. So I started with a quote, then I have my story. So when I landed one of my first quote unquote good jobs, I wasn't playing around. I gave it everything I had. I became a $1 million producer in sales, survived 2 rounds of layoffs, and even had the company offer to relocate me when they shut down our office. When I eventually wanted to move on, the manager tried to make a deal to keep me. That taught me something. Your value in the workplace is directly tied to how you show up. If you bring energy, consistency, and results, people notice. But here's the real secret. Don't just think of a job as a paycheck. Think of it as a training. Every skill you pick up, communication, time management, leadership, becomes a part of your personal toolbox. That toolbox goes with you everywhere, even when you leave the job. For example, I use my sales skills to sell tickets for talent shows, negotiate with promoters, and eventually pitch to investors for film. Those transferable skills are what makes you recession proof. Then I go into a quick reflection and I say, you know, in today's world, job security is an illusion. Companies merge, offices closes, industry shifts overnight, but skill security That's something no one can take from you. You stand out not just by being present, by being excellent. And excellence doesn't always mean you're the loudest in the room. It means you're reliable, resourceful, and always learning. The key is to treat every job like it's preparing you for your own business. Even if you don't plan to be an entrepreneur, take ownership of your work, learn the systems, build a relationship, master the skills. And so, yeah. And then I go into, you know, step by steps, instructions so people can check out. So, yeah. And then I have an action plan. So it's really, really cool tool. So, yeah, that's a little bit of excerpt. But, yeah. And the reason why I work is because I hear often, and I've been confronted with this, you know, everybody start a business. Everybody's not necessarily meant to be an entrepreneur or a business owner. Like, and that's why I said, if you're on a job, if you can't, you need to master that. You know what I'm saying? You need to be good at that first, because the same things that, and a lot of stuff that I, when I went on the job and was doing the job, I was like, how can I kind of incorporate this into what I'm doing? Like these programs, how can I use Salesforce? How can I use this? How can I do something for myself with what they're teaching me here? You know what I'm saying? Obviously, this is good for their business. How can I make it good for my business? And, you know, so yeah. And everybody's just not going to be an entrepreneur. So if you want to be on a job, then be the best that you can be on your job.
That's what we're talking about, Black Men Sundays, man. I'm going to ask you the hard question, man. You enjoying yourself on Black Men Sundays?
I am. That ain't hard. That's an easy question. That's an easy question, man. I'm glad that this exists. And that's what we need, to have more conversations with Black men. So I'm super excited.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm just impressed by listening to you, man. And, you know, again, going back to your press kit that you sent me. So you have templates and prompts in this workbook. Like, let's talk about that. So I'm like,
yeah, well, just like in that one. So like right after I do a reflection, so I have like tips. So I have like 7 tips in this one section, really short, concise things. Let me see, I'll give you one. Master the basics, show up on time, meet deadlines, and do what you say you'll do. 2, learn beyond your role. Study how the whole company works, not just your department. And then after that, I have a checklist of things that a person can do. A young person can do, like, arrive 15 minutes early for my next shift or meeting, ask my supervisor or coworker one question about the bigger picture of the business, write down 3 wins from the past 30 days in my role, research 1 online course I can take to strengthen my skills, and reach out to 1 professional contact this week. So that would be like your checklist of things that you should do, you know what I'm saying, for yourself. And then the journal prompts, basically I'm asking questions. What one skill I have now that could transfer to another career business? What do I want my coworkers or boss to say about me when I'm in the room, when I'm not in the room, rather? So just things to make you think and to write down. And then at the end, action plan, so a 30-day focus. So one of which says, no new skill I'll commit to learning this month. 2, an online course or training I'll enroll in. Mentor or colleague I'll ask for advice. A personal win I'll aim to achieve at work. So just different things that you can write down to really kind of take you through each chapter. And I'm pretty sure at the end, if a person really does do the things that's in here, you're going to be better off. So it's no way that you're going to be like, oh, I did all that, I read it, I did the actionable steps, wrote down all this stuff, and I'm feeling just the same. I think you should definitely feel empowered and be like, you know what? I actually have a plan. I can just revert back to my book because I just wrote it all down. So I heard from someone who's given their perspective, their story, reflected on it. But now how can I internalize that and make it make sense for me so that I can move forward in the right way? That's what it was all about.
Wow, that's great information, man. And, you know, on Black Men Sundays, we also discuss mental health. So I understand you discuss mental health habits in your book. Can you touch on that for us a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, very briefly, you know, when I've learned, I guess since I'm an avid reader, there's a book on the neuro-linguistic programming where basically you're utilizing your pressure points and you're basically reinforcing the thoughts that you want to have in your mind. So a lot of times, well, I can't say a lot of times, we have thousands of thoughts that come across our mind. So one way is to basically tap along your pressure points and put whatever positive information that you're trying to reinforce to yourself. So I do that on a daily basis. So, and I do a lot of journaling, you know, the whole 369 method. So talk about that. That is important. You know, whatever the goal is for the day, you know, 3 times in the morning, 6 times in the afternoon, 9 times at night. So it's really about reprogramming your consciousness. And also, I used to, like I said, dibble and dabble in different things. But, you know, when you get older, it's like, you know, your body starts to tell on you. So you have to find another means to be relieved of the quote unquote stress of life. And also recognizing you can't always find a way of escapism. Sometimes you have to deal with things head on. So what can you do to change your mindset in the moment? And so I find, me personally, that the tapping techniques, EFT tapping technique, is a great method, journaling. So I'll talk briefly on that, but I think that's super important. And also just your self-talk, you know, talking to yourself in the mirror, and, you know, declaring and decreeing certain things over your life. Just like today, case in point, it's toward the end of the month and certain things are not where I want them to be, but I took some time off. So now I'm calm. I'm going to hit my goals. And so far today, it was good. So, but relaxed belief, as they say. So it's not, because of course, if you don't truly believe what you said, then you're going to be upset because you're looking, okay, there's the goal. I need to do this. Now, if I take my attention off of that and just, I said it, I'm going to hit the goal. That's what it's going to be. Now I'm going to continue on my day and do what it's going to fall together somehow. I'm not going to press it. I'm not going to give it any negative energy to dispel what I'm trying to put out there. I'm just going to go on and enjoy my day. And so far, so good. So that's the type of stuff I talk about. I'll go more in depth in The Uncomfortable Truth. That book is also on Amazon. That was in 2020, and that's 274 pages. So that was definitely a more in-depth look into a lot of things, like 10 years of research up until that point went into that book. So that's why that was, you know, definitely a heavy hitter. And I go more into that in that book.
Got you, man. Well, I think that wraps it up right there. Tim Knight, man, the author of No Time Wasted, a step-by-step workbook for young Black men on money, mindset, and manhood. I definitely can't wait to check that out. Like I said, the book can be picked up on Amazon. It released October 13th. There we have it. Tim Knight, thanks for coming on Black Man Sundays. We appreciate you, my brother.
Thank you. And thank you. And much success to you. And I'll keep on listening and I'll spread the word out there as well. It's a Black Man Sunday.